You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Yeah! Welcome, everybody! The Athletic Fantasy Football Podcast, off-season edition. Well, post-season edition, I guess. Also off-season edition. All about the ranks. With me, as always, well, usually it's Beller. With Beller, as always, Brandon Funston!
Woo! Good morning! Or whatever time it is in your world.
FSW at Health Fame. Let's just assume it's okay. Morning. And Jakey.
It's morning for us still for another hour.
Jake's not eating his pizza yet.
Still drinking coffee.
No, I'm not.
That's his tradition.
I'm frustrated with my phone though, because I just tried to send 7 attachments of my niece and I playing in the snow to my sister, but through Gmail it got all the way through timing it out, and then at the very last second it says the files are too big to share. But thank you for taking that entire time.
You wasted too much memory on your experiencing snow for the first time.
No, it's not memory, it's Gmail.
That's it. Jake, just text it. Everyone's got an iPhone now. Come on.
My sister doesn't. My sister and her husband are whack jobs.
We transfer it like we do with all our stuff.
Oh, I thought you were saying we transferred like you and the family.
No, I'm saying
that is kind of true. That, hey, shout out. Field Yates had a baby over the weekend. Big weekend for Field.
Huge. Congratulations.
Yeah. There we go.
Nice. Let's rock and roll. So yeah. I had an idea last night to talk about Dynasty. I thought that would benefit people, but Jake said, no, we're going to talk about my rankings still. So we're going to go through Jake's running backs and wide receivers. Last week with Diver, I guess
we can tie the two together.
No. Because this is going to be an interesting show, Jake. If I'm going to be running it, we're going to start. Well, we're not going to start. Yeah, we're going to start with Dante Foreman.
With player 99.
Number 44, Dante Foreman. Very interesting spot he'd be in, I think, Jake. He really, very strong. You got in trouble on Twitter for talking about how much better he was than Mike Davis with the last, 9 games, I think, he played. But Dante Foreman, I think everyone loved him 4 years ago, had the Achilles surgery. Loved him to the point where I was sick of him. And then last year, he served as Derrick Henry's backup.
Do we have to pause this really quickly and just get out of the way while you're wrapped up in winter parka here? Because I just take care of the elephant in the room first.
Like,
just explain that you're in your garage and it's a little chilly.
Okay, I'm in my garage and it's a little chilly, but I'm doing the show anyway because I love everybody. Yeah, sorry. I just assumed this is podcast and the video was a bonus, but.
Yeah.
All right, fine.
They still want to know.
I'm in my garage, wrapped up. Hey, Reed. Thanks for your concern, Reed, on YouTube. That's much appreciated, man. Yeah. So, yeah. I know it looks nice behind me. I got some nice artwork and my athletic scarf like everybody else. And these Christmas lights. But, yeah. It's chilly in my garage. But I got little kids inside. Pandemic. And they're loud. Either loud or sleeping. So, that's not going to work. So, I've dug out. I'm going to get a space heater. Don't worry about me, everybody. We don't have to talk about Dante Foreman if you guys are trying to get us off track.
No, I wasn't. I'd like to get to it. Yes. Let's get to the
Jake, you're 36 places ahead of the consensus for Dante Foreman.
I told you
Foreman.
Not to pay attention to that.
I know. But I do think it's interesting. You've got him ahead of Sony Michel. You've got him ahead of Gus Edwards, who, I mean, I know Baltimore's going to be full again in the backfield, but still.
Right.
You got him ahead of Ronald Jones. You got him ahead of David. I just think at this point last year, if you told people, yeah, I'm going to have Dante Foreman in my top 50 for running backs, and he's going to be ahead of all these people, Jamal Williams, Mike Davis, they might be surprised. And I think you can factor some dynasty into this too, obviously, because we're talking about next year. But Dante Foreman, I think, showed that he could be a very productive back. Yes. And I don't know if that's, you put anyone back there that's Derrick Henry's size and they're used to Derrick Henry running, whatever. But I think he actually showed, he gave a lot of faith for people who were coming back from the Achilles injury. And he showed, like, this is the guy that everyone was kind of excited about a few years ago. So is 44 his ceiling for you, Jake? Let me start there.
No.
44 his ceiling for you? Or is this like Dante Foreman could sign with like Kansas City and be a top 15?
So there's a couple factors in here. So 44 is not a ceiling. I don't see him getting to his ceiling just because of the way the NFL is right now. Like I put him in the same conversation right now as Rashad Penny. Is they're probably going to both try to find starter roles and maybe even a split like the Broncos situation we just went through. But I don't know that they'll necessarily find a starter, and they'll probably have to settle for the back half of a timeshare. If I'm the Titans, I don't let Foreman go. You're replicating it. So Foreman, for everybody out there that might not remember or, you know, past couple of years, he's very similar to A.J. Dillon in a lot of ways. That was actually two of the similar comparisons I was making between the two. Actually, I drew comparisons to A.J. Dillon to Foreman when Foreman came out. So I think those are like to get people's minds is that he's also got some passing game skills, even though people might not think so. So I'm saying that to say this is like if he falls into an A.J. Dillon type role on the right team, you could see him in the high 30s, low 20s, as in that, you know, flex running back every single week. Same thing with Penny. The high ceiling would be stay where he is and Henry gets hurt again. And now we are looking at top 15, top 20, just like Penny. But the NFL has more draft running backs coming out. Not as good as classes as we've seen, but still a strong enough class that there's going to be options out there. And the free agency is going to be a glut. You have both Tampa Bay running backs hitting free agency, as you mentioned, Ronald Jones. You have Foreman, you have Penny, you have Melvin Gordon. So I think that just there's too many running backs for them not to actually find a real job as the lead.
Brandon, five spots ahead of Dante Foreman at Jake's rankings is Cordarrelle Patterson. And right above him is Darrell Henderson, actually, then Travis Etienne. Just to give some context, it's Etienne, Henderson, Cordarrelle Patterson, Miles Gaskin, Alexander Mattison.
Oh, that's why Michelle's so low, by the way. It's because Henderson. Akers and Henderson. Now Michelle might not even be on the opening day roster next year. But anyway, sorry. I just wanted to throw that in there.
Do I have a question?
Can Brandon speak?
No.
All right. The question is Patterson too low here at 39? Like, I mean, this was his breakout year, in a way, a little older than the usual breakout, but wouldn't you kind of think like next year is the year like he kind of builds on the breakout? Is 39 too low, or is that just right?
What is he? He's like 30. He's like 31 or 32, isn't he now at this point? So I think it.
Look at us, man. We're in our 40s.
It's a Jose Bautista breakout here.
Doing well.
But, you know, I think. This is a wait and see where he lands. If he's back in Atlanta and they give a mea culpa for basically just turning away from him in the final month of the season and not doing what they were doing every week before that, or if he goes somewhere else and they give lip service to the fact that we loved the way that he was used in Atlanta and we want to do that, and we kind of get the feeling that this whole Cordarrelle Patterson, Deebo Samuel kind of movement of these hybrid running back wide receivers is, you know, something that a bunch of people are going to try to do. It's going to be a completely environmentally based. So this is a big TBD. I think he could go farther down Jake's ranks, or I think he could go, you know, appreciably up, depending on where his signing is and what kind of lip service you get about his role.
Jake, I don't know if you could
said hi,
put that more
hi
in the
JL.
The reflection. Oh, John, yeah. Luke, what's up? Jake, here's a question for you as a Giants fan. How excited are you for Brian Daboll to pretty obviously be the next head coach of this team?
I'm not. I honestly want it to be Flores because I'm not sold on Daboll. Just because look at his track record. I feel like he's kind of the Ben McAdoo now. Look, you can't deny what's been happening with the Bills, but he got there at the same time as Josh Allen. And is it Josh Allen developed under him and he is and dabbles the entire reason for Josh Allen? Or is it, let's not understand, like, a lot of it was Josh Allen and the pieces, the GM, which is why they poached the assistant GM, what that team was constructed around Josh Allen with the Diggs situation, with, you know, saying Beasley.
Can't you say that's Daniel Jones and Kenny Galladay, though?
First of all, it's not Daniel Jones. Get the hell away with Daniel Jones. Kenny Galladay isn't even on the same stratosphere as Stephon Diggs. So anyway,
but really, didn't we all love Kenny Galladay like a year ago?
No. First of all, no.
Didn't and like the move to the Giants. I think so there DVR was a decent narrative that was not a good move for him.
But we liked him, right? He was like a, he was a fantasy star.
You're adding more questions to my answer here. Like, if my answer is going to be 7 pages long at this point. So,
go ahead, Jake.
Kenny Galladay is a lesser version of Dez Bryant. Not a good separator. But it worked with Stafford because he knew how to make his 50-50 contested ball a better 50-50 ball for Galladay, who is also good at that. Daniel Jones has never, that's why Brandon is referencing something we talked about in the preseason, was never a good fit because Daniel Jones doesn't throw a good contested pass. He actually shies away from throwing those passes. That's Kenny Galladay. So throw that aside. The dabble question I just want to answer is because if you go back to before Josh Allen, before the Bills, there's a very poor track record. Some very weak offenses, including he had the Freddie Kitchens happen to him. People forgot he got demoted to tight ends coach for the 1 year before he came to the Bills. So I'm not ready to say, like, it's all dabble and he's going to come in and revolutionize the Giants' offense. I think Flores showed a ton. Purely coaching, Flores has impressed me more than most anybody on his first stint. This is going to be his second stint, which he learned from his first. And the biggest complaint people said about him was his coaching, other coaching management, his management of his staff. If that's all he needs to learn, then please bring in Flores. I'm not sold on dabble.
Can you be humbled in 2 weeks?
Who?
Flores. I mean, like, he learned this lesson and he's just going to turn around and just immediately get another job?
No, he learned it over the course of a year. You have to give that guy two things. A hell of a lot of credit for two different things. One is to take 7 losses and turn them into 7 straight wins. Crap on him all you want for the 7 straight losses. To be able to stick with your team and pull it out of the literal gutter and rattle off 7 straight wins, had some success against the Bills, had the success against Bill Belichick in his time there, and to be able to do that and to be able to coach that team, and let's talk about how many injuries this team dealt with at the beginning of the year with Tua, no Parker, no Fuller, rookie wide receiver.
Devontae Parker. Funson, are you sick of Devontae Parker like I am too? Like,
well, he's on the same team as Will Fuller, who I'm more sick of. Come back. So I like Devontae Parker.
All right, yeah, fair.
The woulda, coulda, shoulda with Will Fuller. But, yeah, I mean, I've heard a lot of really good things about the personality and like, the head coaching ability of Brian Daboll, that he relates to the players, that he's smart, and that people rally around him. But I love Brian Flores, too. To me, I think these are, if you're having your head coach candidate draft, these are the top two picks for me. So you could argue which way you want to go, and maybe a team that wants to be a little bit more kind of defensive-centric goes with Brian Flores, and a team that kind of wants to be, you know, more of that offensive juggernaut and lead with the offense first goes with Dable.
Which one's better for Saquon Barkley?
Both. I don't think that would be that different. I mean, Flores has shown the propensity, as Brandon always talked about, is like once he settles on a running back, he kind of leans on his one running back. I don't think Dabble will really change that. You have Saquon, but Dabble just used Singletary. Yeah,
but it was a long time coming up, though.
So I mean, like, I think the biggest thing making, that...
But maybe he'll take that with
it
him.
It was. I think the really good point you made, Brandon, which I'll agree with, is maybe this depends on what happens with Patrick Graham and if he gets poached, because they're interviewing Graham, but it doesn't sound like he's going to get the head coaching job. But a great defensive coordinator who could potentially be a head coach very soon is that if they keep him, then go Dabble. If you have to go find a new defensive coordinator, and depending on what you're doing offensively, like, then you go with Flores and you can kind of reshape it. But like, if Graham doesn't go anywhere, you've already got the defensive mind. So maybe that's the better mesh. So maybe that's what they're seeing there. We're seeing whether or not they're going to be able to retain Patrick Graham.
Jake, John Lucas kissing up to you in the comments section. I just look over here.
Ben McAdoo can punch sand.
I'm not kissing up. Just, I agree.
Sidebar, I'm asking you guys a question. I know you love to defend anybody. How the hell did he get a job of 2 years? He didn't even go back to college. What was he doing the past 2 years that convinced somebody, let's bring back Ben McAdoo?
I don't have a strong answer for that.
What's wrong with that? He's got a pretty decent track record as an offensive coordinator.
He was doing nothing. He was doing...
So collecting his paycheck. No, good for him. Spending time with his family.
That would be like, all right, here's my last day, Nando. I'm going to go disappear for 2 years and like come back and be like, oh, I got picked up.
If I'm burnt out by this whole New York Giants experience and I'm going to recharge my batteries and just be like, yo, I'm going to go into the woods for 2 years.
Is that why you have kids to recharge your batteries?
No, I'm just going to live my life. What was his excuse? What did he say?
Nobody's ever asked. I'm legitimately wondering the question of what has he, even because that's the thing. He left on disappointing NFL terms. Like, he was failing as a coach And that's what I'm saying. He didn't rejuvenate his career. Like, he didn't go to college and like, oh, he's the offensive coordinator at Auburn. Look at what Auburn just did. Like, there's nothing he did in these past 2 years to make you think he's better than why he got fired by the Giants.
Yeah, but you're like Ron Chandler, you know? You just...
He went got his master's degree skill. In coaching
Did
philosophy.
He maybe buzz the goatee?
There you go, Jake.
Raheem Morris is good, too, but I think that kind of ties back to Brandon's point about the Patrick Graham, the defensive coordinator. Like, how do you want to construct the head coaching staff?
I think Dan Duggan made a good... I think it was Dan Duggan who wrote, like, the Giants need to get a defensive coach because...
I don't think so. I like Graham.
He can just bring in someone who will just focus on the offense. Like, it's not like one of these coaches who's an offensive coach who has to run the coaching staff and also has to do the offense. It's a defensive coach who can just, like, coach, and then the offensive, the OC can go in and go nuts. Yeah, there you go, Reed. I'm telling you, man, McAdoo's good. And you know what? I go back to all the time. Bill Belichick,
joking.
I think he's right. No, I'm saying, we're going to find out
how last year with the Giants, what year was that?
I don't think it's going to be a problem.
McAdoo?
Who's?
But was that like 2018?
Organization thing, so.
So was that Saquon Barkley's truly great year?
Shurmur. That was Shurmur. Shurmur had him for the rookie year because it was like, look at all the rookie running backs Shurmur's produced. So 2 years of Shurmur.
No,
because
he was right before that. It was 16-17, and it was he got fired right before the Barkley. That's what I'm saying. It was before Gettleman and the Barkley situation.
So imagine 16, if they gave 17. McAdoo players to work with, Jake.
Yeah, give him the Rams offense and watch them score 10 points a game.
Hey, football fans, this is Diana Rossini from The Athletic. Get the top stories in pro football snapped directly to your inbox with our latest NFL newsletter, Scoop City. Jacob Robinson and I will bring you the daily scoop of top NFL articles, posts, and podcasts every Monday to Friday. Sign up for free now at theathletic.com/scoop.
Hey, are you worried? Because I'm a little worried that Joe Judge is going to turn out to be a great coach wherever he goes next.
No.
Yeah. I think it's going to happen. I think he's going to
be a great defensive coordinator. That's another one, like similar to the McAdoo thing. Go rejuvenate the opinion people have of you. He went from special teams straight to head coach. It was a mistake. He tried to be too Belichickian, can we make that a word? The fact is like there are, I'll say this, even being a Giants only rooting for the players until they fix this organization, is there are strengths with him. Like, he's not a total schlub. That he does have good things about Joe Judge. But I think that similar to Flores, maybe this is a learning lesson, but instead of like throwing him right back into the head coaching situation, go to defensive coordinator, like should have been the next step. The Giants should have learned with I go back to the Kitchens thing. Look what the Browns did with Kitchens. You should learn that, hey, it's a little too much to go straight from special teams tight end straight to head coach just because you showed a little flash here and there and you think you're hitting on the next big thing.
Well, wasn't he battle tested? The end of the previous. And whatever. We're talking too much about coaches for a fantasy show, Jake.
I don't, sorry to be the one to sidebar this with the question I didn't ask.
Well, you can still sidebar it, even if you didn't ask it. I want to look at your wide receivers for a second, specifically Gabriel Davis. Brandon, with the game that he had last night, does his stock shoot? Like, I've seen on football card Twitter, Gabriel Davis is kind of blowing up today, you know, for good measure. But is this kind of like something like, everybody who likes football was watching that game last night. Everyone who plays fantasy was watching that game last night. And they're thinking, like, Gabe Davis, man, wow, he's awesome. Is that going to change a lot of point of views on him and shoot him up a little bit? Gabriel Davis right now is 45th in Jake's ranks among wide receivers. Behind Kadarius Toney, Cortland Sutton, Corey Davis. Ahead of DJ Chark, Jarvis Landry, Van Jefferson.
Could be too low.
Yeah, could you see him? I mean, just the perception... even like someone might just want him because this memory is just so itched in their heads. Funson, do you see him going up to
I mean, I think
into the 30s, maybe?
He was kind of at this spot last year going into this year, and we were thinking he could potentially be a guy that took a next step. And took him a little while. I would say he did take a next step, but maybe not as big a step as some, even myself at some points in the summer, thought he could really be a mover. But what is the deal with Emmanuel Sanders and Cole Beasley? Are they both under contract for next year? Are they both free agents? Because I think this is going to be, like, if I'm the Bills, it's Diggs, it's Davis, it's Isaiah McKenzie, and maybe we draft somebody, and it's time to move on from Cole Beasley and Emmanuel Sanders. They're older. Cole Beasley started to look a little bit old in this last game. And I think Gabe Davis is part of the future, and the future isn't one of the biggest passing offenses in the league with one of the best arms in the league. So I could see him having a nice run, especially in dynasty leagues. I think he's pretty attractive at this point. But the Bills also have to kind of move on from Sanders and Beasley.
Yeah, I'm trying to, of course, the one site that I try to pull it up on regularly is dog ass slow today. So
that's right, Jake. We can talk about heavy ones.
No. I want to answer the Davis part too. So I got Gone. Beasley on another site because I know Sanders is probably out. Beasley has 1 year left. They can actually get away from him, and they can save $6 million and only 1.5 dead cap to cut him. So they could move on from him, and he's going to be 33. Yeah. So what I will say for you is, and why I kind of chimed in there real quick with the could be too low. The Beasley situation is because I'm not sure where they are next year. So if Beasley is clearly the number two next year, top 30, and not even 35, 30 is like top 30. He's in that number two conversation of a lot of number twos, like the Mike Williams, what we just saw with the Chargers when he was healthy. The issue, I don't know, for everybody watching, you might have seen my eyes semi-light up when Brandon said it, is I don't know that the Bills don't draft a wide receiver. Because here's the thing about Gabriel Davis and why this is the perfect time in Dynasty to sell, to answer your first question, Nando. Sell the living hell out of him, because this is when these things happen, is this is your opportunity to sell. I still like Davis. You could go back to my draft profile. He's very much like a Mike Williams-y, not the old Mike Williams. So then maybe a better one would be like a Mike Wallace. Here's a better one. He's a smaller DK Metcalf. He's not great on the comebacks. He's not great on like the short intermediate route tree. He's not great at. The Bills have been able to obviously maximize his skill set just like the Seahawks have done with DK Metcalf. And that's not to say he can't be an amazing number two. But do the Bills believe that he is their number two? If so, and like Brandon said, Eddie, he is the number two going into next year, top 30. If they draft somebody who's kind of a better route runner to replace Cole Beasley, now you're looking at kind of a Juju Smith Claypool situation where they're going to be both in the 30s, and it's going to be hard to predict week in and week out.
Have you ever heard a better album name than Heavy Ones, Jake?
Heavy Ones?
Cole Beasley's song about being anti-vax.
I have never heard that.
You didn't heard it? No. Give him credit for this. His number's 11, right? So it's like Heavy Ones. You get it? Like the ones heavy? But also, I think he's talking about his balls. As the Heavy Ones.
Is that what he's talking about?
I think so. I just thought it was one of the most creative song titles I've ever heard.
For what you were saying, Funston, by the way, Isaiah McKenzie is not actually on a contract either. The only ones next year right now are Diggs, Davis, Beasley, and Stevenson.
I mean, it makes sense to move on from Beasley, I feel. I feel like now's the time to get out.
I mean, because look at it this way. We know how great their situation is money-wise, too. What if the Browns move on from Landry, which is a lot of rumors? Granted, Landry's up there in age, but what if they replace... I mean, Landry's been shown better than Beasley this year. And what if they do something like... And that's all I'm saying. If they bring in a legitimate contested wide receiver three, you're going to get inconsistency again.
I'm going through your list right now of your top 10, 11, 12. I'm trying to think, when has a wide receiver changed a team where it's made an impact? In your top 20, I mean, DeAndre Hopkins is 13, obviously with that big trade over to Arizona, but Calvin Ridley is going to probably change, go somewhere, but all these players are on the teams they started with still, like Terry McLaurin. I guess Brandon Cooks at 23, but he's bounced around a few times. You know what I mean? When we talk about where is this wide receiver going to go, and especially in light of the Kenny Galladay disappointment, there aren't a lot of impact moves that a lot of guys have made, especially looking at this
Diggs
list for next
year. One, obviously.
All right, Diggs is obviously
Diggs.
The biggest
one. Amari Cooper.
Hopkins was doing fine before he got hurt. He just wasn't Hopkins. Amari Cooper's a good one.
Right, Amari Cooper.
I mean, Brandon Cooks has done it with four different teams.
Odell Beckham?
I was just about to say, your boy, Odell Beckham, went from nothing to back to being a top 25 wide receiver getting to the Rams.
But look at Julio Jones. I mean, granted, he was hurt, but he's 61 for you, Jake.
Because he's at the end of his career. I mean, he might even...
Curtis Samuel, 68. Marvin Jones, 60. These are some of the biggest names that moved.
He was an entire year thrown out the window Curtis Samuel doesn't count. He essentially, you know, here's another one. Mm-hmm. Hold on. Corey Davis before he got hurt. Corey Davis was a top 20, 25 wide receiver before he got hurt.
All right, so there's one a year on average, basically.
No, there's, I think I looked at this a few
Robert
years
Woods.
Ago. There's multiple. It's just, it depends on what's your one per year. Yeah, right. Like, there's probably one top 15 per year and about two or three more in the top 40s. This will be your breaking point because this will be interesting this year because you have Mike Williams, Juju Smith-Schuster, potentially Landry getting cut. Who else? There's one other major name. That's Allen Robinson. And, I mean,
is he still a major name?
He's going to get tagged. Yeah, I mean, we're about to find out whether or not.
Because he's about a year and a half to 2 years younger than you think he is. He's always been the guy that's never as old as we thought.
Here's a perfect example. I get it.
Yeah.
I will 100%. I know he's still so. Yeah. I think, is it Cooper Kupp that's older than him? It's something ridiculous like that. See, I'll give you Nanda to go back to the main point about this Davis conversation.
Yeah.
If I'm a Davis manager in Dynasty right now, I am sending a trade to the Allen Robinson team for Allen Robinson in the second rounder. And I would almost guarantee most people will take it.
What, really?
Yes. Don't waste your time with the thirds. Once you get to the thirds, just third. Everybody out there, third is a juicer. If somebody really asks you for that, go ahead and throw it in. Third and fourth round dynasty picks, 90% of the time mean nothing. Second
rounder
still
straight,
have
the
value.
Rookie, the rookie draft.
Yeah, yeah. Straight rookie draft. All right. If you can get Allen Robinson in a second for Gabriel Davis, I would do that. That is the 100% quintessential sell high buy low.
Did you guys get on Michael Pittman last week at all? Because he confuses me so bad. For the first 8 weeks, he looked like the new Terrell Owens to me. And then after that, I feel bad. I told people, I'm like, don't trade
Preston,
him.
You answer this because I monopolized that answer that day. I actually remember that. And I said he ran into the DK Metcalf rookie season thing. So you go.
Look at what DVR just threw up on our screen.
There.
For those of you listening, Allen Robinson
See?
Is two
there you
months
go.
Younger than
I told
Cup.
You. That I tweeted that something like that out last year because I was amazed to find that out. That was ridiculous how young he was.
Yeah, I mean, I guess my view of Michael Pittman is that he's very talented. He's a legit, like, number one worthy receiver talent. They're on a very run-heavy team with Jonathan Taylor as kind of like the center of that offense. Carson Wentz, mixed, you know. And also defenses, you know that Michael Pittman's the guy they're going to in the passing game. So I think there's some headwind there because Carson Wentz is a serviceable quarterback, but not great and not always great for Michael Pittman. And also because they're super run-heavy. But, like, I'm in overall. Michael Pittman's still young. He's still their number one guy. They could tweak things there, and it could be okay for him. I just, you know, I think right now his ceiling's kind of capped in the, you know, if things kind of roll over next year the same way they are this year.
Fun. So what about your guy Dwayne Eskridge? I thought he would have had
a
mini breakout
concussion,
this
and
year.
It was like a
really
9 week.
Game, but...
It was like a 9 week concussion.
I know, but I mean,
and
sort
there
of
was
Odell
not
Beckham
a whole lot of good information about that. But he like got knocked out in his first game, and we didn't see him again for like half a season. And by that point, it's like.
My question to you, Funston, is do the Seahawks call him Dwayne or D? Which did he change his? Did he want to be called D? Because, like, at some point in the middle of the season.
All right, it was DEE, right?
Yeah, because I do the data pulls, and I had to keep changing for some of the sites because some of the sites have him as D, and some of them the sites have Dwayne still. And I was like, when did this change?
The verbally, like, the spoken is D.
It is?
You know, you see it. On the broadcast and stuff, they call him D. Eskridge.
Do you guys want to take a look at the teams we drafted, by the way, several weeks ago for the playoffs and see where we stand with four games left? You want to wait till next
I know
week?
The one that I did on the show with Meany and I got – and with JL was on it. I got backed into a corner. And so for everybody out there to do snake drafts, is we talked about on this show and talked about on that one too, is like when the draft goes in a certain way, you kind of have to adjust. And because I got pushed towards the Cowboys, I went Cowboys heavy because I'm like, well, this is the only way I can win now. I'm not going to spread across six different teams. And obviously that team is complete toast because it was out
there. Jake, your team here is gonzo, man. You want to hear this team
gone?
That Jakey drafted?
Yeah.
Travis Kelce, the first round.
Yeah.
Then Devontae Adams, Aaron Rodgers, Josh Allen, Stephen Diggs, Ezekiel Elliott, Derrick Henry, Dawson Knox, and then your bonus pick was A.J. Brown.
So it was doing fine until the Packers got knocked out.
The Packers and the Bills, yeah.
And the Bills.
No, but the Bills went far enough Bills went far enough for that kind of team.
Jake, don't feel bad. Mine's not much better.
Yeah, for Josh Allen putting up those kind of numbers, yeah.
Mine's Aaron Jones, Devin Singletary, CeeDee Lamb, Dak Prescott. Then I got Joe Burrow and Ja'Marr Chase still, and Kittle. Nice. then Dalton Schultz, and then I got Elijah Mitchell as my bonus player. So I think we're going to crown a champion, Brandon Funston, because Cooper Kupp, listen to this stacked lineup. Cooper Kupp with his number one overall, when he didn't understand the rules, but still took him number one overall. Patrick Mahomes.
Oh, I understand.
Patrick Mahomes, Tyreek Hill. You lost Brady and Gronk. You still have Joe Mixon, Sony Michel, Tyler Higbee, and Deebo Samuel. That is a winning team right there.
Sony Michel doesn't really work anymore, though.
That, yeah, well, you know, he might. Yeah. I think they put Cam Akers in there.
He might work for next game. Yeah. I know. Do you throw him out there after two huge fumbles?
I just laughed at Reed's comment.
I really think Sony Michel could get like 23 carries next game.
No, he won't.
Jake, I mean, they're very situational.
No.
The Rams.
No. Cam Akers. Did you read Reed's comment?
And Titans?
Yeah, I'm reading it right
Other
now.
Other than all of my players losing, my team is bulletproof.
Oh, Jake. You know, Jake, you're a good fantasy player. Maybe just not for the postseason, you know?
Oh, I talked to Joe.
I'm just kidding, man.
I had an amazing DFS weekend because I was all over the Bills, even though they lost, but it didn't matter because I was all over. I had Gabe Davis. Gabe Davis was one of my locks for the week. I wasn't expecting four touchdowns. But
this is why Jake's in a good mood.
Oh,
I was thinking DFS with Gabe Davis. If ever there was like just a, you know, smash DFS, that was the guy.
That's even with doing the full stack with Diggs too, and it didn't matter because when you have Allen and Davis, I mean, that was pretty much you could put zeros in half your lineup and still be fine.
Hey, Jakey, when you're making these rankings, is there someone you wanted to pull up like a little higher and you're like, I don't feel like putting up with the commenters. Like, I'll just worry about it.
Not the commenters. April. There was... ask Funston the question in the meantime, because there is one. I gotta look to find like legitimately there was some no because there I can't think of the name off the top of my head. There was somebody that was like, I really want to put him higher, but I just can't. And I gotta have to find out. I don't even know what position was that. So ask Brandon the question while I'm looking
at your 30 plus. And Brandon, let me know if any of these guys stand out to you. Marquise Brown at 32, Devontae Smith at 31, Darnell Mooney at 33, all seem like candidates for. I guess we're talking about breakouts next year. Rashad Bateman at 40 could be a nice breakout. Corey Davis again. Jakey's got him at 44, which is still, you know, top 50 and breakoutable. I'm thinking of someone who could jump into the top 20. Maybe Jacoby Myers. He's down at 50.
Oh,
I personally have faith in Kenny Galladay. But Funson, how about you? Yeah. Even though Jake's trying to interrupt,
I mean, I think Darnell Mooney, as the clear guy. Justin Fields, you know, another year of experience. And if they don't bring Allen Robinson
back,
I can see. They'll bring somebody, but, you know, is it going to be somebody more talented than Allen Robinson?
Well, I mean, anything's more talented than the 2021 version of Allen Robinson.
True.
Is there somebody else before? I found the person. And it is a wide receiver.
Oh, who is it?
Oh, it's Rondell Moore. I would love to be able to put Rondell Moore higher. The problem is Hopkins is going to be back and healthy. Christian Kirk isn't gone. And even if A.J. Green was somehow out of the equation, it's just... he can't even get to the top three, let alone the top two. I would love for Rondell Moore to be a thing because Elijah Moore will be a thing next year. And I had them vote. My pre-draft process, they were in the same tier level for me. It's like, these are both amazing talents. One fell into an awful situation depth-wise. The other one fell into an awful rookie situation team-wise, but was able to overcome it at the end of the year. And Elijah Moore, Rondell Moore could just, he can't get on the field. He's out there with 13 snaps a week.
Hey, we got a question from Jiggles 3. Was it Amon-Ra St. Brown too low? You got Amon-Ra St. Brown at 27th, Jakey, which is wedged between Michael Thomas, Elijah. Oh, remember Michael Thomas? Michael Thomas, yes. Elijah Moore, then St. Brown, then Beckham, then Cooper, then Thielen.
Yes.
Then Devontae Smith.
His question is yes, 100% Jiggles. Amon-Ra St. Brown was the one that I immediately, as soon as I posted my ranks, with one of the first 10 comments was, why are you so low on Amon-Ra St. Brown? Like, he's in the top freaking... he's in front of Odell Beckham and Amari Cooper and Adam Thielen. What more do you want? He was playing with no DeAndre Swift, no TJ Hawkinson, no whoever the wide receiver is they bring in, whether it's Mike Williams, Allen Robinson, draft one or something like that. I like Amon-Ra St. Brown. I do. But you cannot ignore the fact that the volume... It's not going to be Cooper Kupp. And that was the kickback I got. It was like, look at the connection that Goff had with Kupp. He's getting the same thing with Amon-Ra St. Brown. I immediately ignored him because as soon as you put Amon-Ra St. Brown in the conversation with Cooper Kupp, we're done. we're not even having that conversation.
Oh, he was guessing who you were talking. Okay, I got it.
Yeah.
Nice. Hey, DVR's internet broke, so we can do whatever we want right now.
And we can?
No. I mean, what are we going to do? Swear? This is a children's show.
Seven slacks popping up in the middle of the show? Is that what's going on?
Yeah, Jake, sorry. That's when I was distracted for a second. John Luke's got a question for you. Does Elijah Mitchell have long-term fantasy value given his draft capital? Brandon, what do you think?
Yeah. I mean, it's not Trace Urban. We found that out. Yeah, I think he's got long-term. I mean, for as long as he can stay healthy, which he wasn't great at in his rookie season, but, you know, assuming he goes into next year looking healthy, I mean, guy, he's going to be – where do you have him ranked, Jake, in the top 15?
For Elijah
I'd say
Mitchell?
He's probably –
He's 13 for
probably about 15 for me if I'm just – 13?
Yep, and one spot right in front of him.
He would be...
Oh, you want to hear who two spots behind him is?
If I got him as my RB2, I think it's a luxury RB2 that has some back-end RB1 upside.
Akers, Mitchell, Swift, Barkley. So there you go.
That's interesting.
So Barkley could move up, right? Like if you...
Could. If their first two picks are the tackle from NC State or Evan Neal, and their second pick is Linderbaum, and 100% Barkley could move up. But
Did you see how Dane Brugler moved the market on that, by the way?
Which one? The NC State kid?
No.
What's the NC State kid's name?
That's why I said the NC State kid.
Okay, hard to pronounce. So Dane Brugler.
I wasn't like trying to just not mention the guy.
Dane Brugler has him as his number one overall pick in his latest mock draft. Which you can read on The Athletic. But I think he was 80-1, I think, before Dane's mock draft came out. And I think he fell to 10-1 or 15-1.
Or Equano. That's why I don't try to pronounce this, because his name is Ikwim Equano.
Yeah. Dane's mock dropped his odds for the number one pick, like, hard.
Right in the middle of the image, yes. He's right in the middle of the column image.
It was pretty impressive.
It looked pretty.
But yes, the Giants pay attention to the offensive line. And interested to see what their coaching staff turns out to be. Absolutely, Barkley can go up, because I keep talking about this and I keep giving Inside Injuries a ton of credit and saying I didn't 100%. I listened, but not 100%. Granted, he got hurt at the end of September.
You always listen to Inside Injuries, Jake. Haven't we learned anything over these past 4 years together? Me, you, and Funston?
So Inside Injuries, here's what I'm saying. We're both right and wrong. Inside Injuries said don't expect real Barkley until 2022. I said I could see it by October. Brandon knows this. We said it on multiple preseason podcasts. We were getting there at the end of September. And Inside Injuries even said, like, oh, he's looking like he's getting back. They admitted it, too. They're like, not that they were wrong. They're just saying he's ahead of schedule. He's looking better. And then he got hurt again by that twisted ankle. It's just a fluke injury. And he just never got back to it. And Dan actually tweeted out the 1 week where Barkley got tripped up by the ankle. And he goes, if you watch that play, Barkley was just about to hit his second gear. Old Barkley got to the second gear before he got tripped up. He almost instantly gets to the second gear. He goes, that's the main difference with Barkley. So I want to see him this offseason. If he's back to 2018, 19 Barkley, 20 Barkley, sure, he could get back inside the top 10. Easy. But it's too early to put him there.
I'm just sorry. I'm communicating. We'll try to communicate with DVR. I don't know if he's going to. I mean, this stream could go on forever and ever if he doesn't come back in here. We have no
this
one to end
stream
it.
That never ends.
Yeah, sing it, Jake.
No.
You don't do the Lamb Chop song?
No. Is that a Lamb Chop song? This is the song that never ends?
Yeah. Isn't it?
I don't know where it came from. So that's what I'm asking. I've heard the song. This is the song that never ends.
Yeah. I don't really care about tight ends. I don't talk about tight ends. Do you guys care about tight ends? I don't know. You talk about running backs again?
No, it's from the Never Ending Story, right? No, that's the Never Ending Story song.
Jake, you're getting your pop culture very confused right now. Jake, how many times have you watched Encanto?
Zero.
How many times have you, Nando? Have you watched it?
So many. So many that I'm on Reddit looking at theories. Like, I have my own theories on a lot of things.
Theories? Theories on a cartoon?
Theories about...
So much more than that, Jake.
Is it good?
It's excellent.
So yes,
it really is.
Okay, because I've almost
the we had to watch Moana like 100 times, you know, whatever. We had to watch all these 100 times. Encanto is definitely the best of the repeat viewings.
I don't have a kid younger than 15, but I've almost had the trigger on.
Did you watch Ron's Gone Wrong?
A couple times.
Yeah, that was pretty good.
I did. Yeah,
it was pretty good, but got very heavy handed in the last fourth. Like, it should be social media sucks. Get real friends. Like, it just like it was so heavy handed.
Not wrong, Jiggy.
No, I know, but it's like, in case you missed the message for the first three quarters of the movie, we're just going to throw it in your face.
We've seen that one a few times, too.
Have you?
Yeah. It's a pandemic, Jake.
So, Shang-Chi, is that what it's called? The
Yeah.
So
yeah.
Did I pronounce that
right?
Oh,
dude, you know what? Okay. We watched Eternals the other night. Eternals is so much better than people give it credit for.
I texted you that. You gave him a half grade better than I did. I was like, I told Nando, I was like, I think it was entertaining. It wasn't deserved the hate. It's like 6, 6.5. And Nando was like, I'll give it a 7. I'm like, okay.
Well, where I was going with Shang-Chi is Nando said that you were watching it the other night, and Jake said something about the final third of the movie.
Yes.
It was good until then.
No, I didn't say until then. Is it
okay to, like, spoiler as I talk about this, but it was like, the issue of the dragons.
Yes. Yes. Oh, first of all, spoilers. We're way past it. We're way past. So you get two things.
Okay.
You get TV. You get 1 week. Movies. We get 3. We decided this on podcast a couple of years ago. You get 3 weeks on movies, and then 1 week. Then tune out. And too bad, you missed your chance for spoilers. So anyway,
yeah, G-Man Jay knows we're talking about. He's gone down the Encanto theory rabbit hole. He knows what's up.
No, but yes, it wasn't just the dragons. It was just that whole last.
Well, there was Awkwafina basically becoming. What was that bard from The Hobbit?
I was gonna say Legolas. She became Legolas by like training for 3 hours of.
No, well, in The Hobbit, Bard shoots down the dragon with like the perfect shot.
Okay, yeah.
I was thinking
how good
armor,
she was with
you know,
Jake's
arrows.
Never read The Hobbit.
I've never read it. No, I watched the movie, so I know
well,
what he's talking about now.
Could have watched
yeah,
the movie.
I know what he's talking about.
Yeah,
I feel like they stole the dragons from
very derivative
Raya yeah. and the Last Dragon. They're almost the exact same dragons. Which I find
the
odd.
Big. I told you, did you?
They might have stolen
oh,
the code.
Oh, look, I'm wearing
yeah.
a shirt. Did you watch the pitch meetings for Shang-Chi?
No, not yet.
Just go watch it. It encapsulates everything pretty much also with the problem with the last third. Just go. Super easy, Baylor Cavita. Shout out Ryan George. Go watch pitch meetings on YouTube and waste your entire day watching a billion pitch meetings.
Wait, you're wearing a pitch meetings? It's still so small on my screen. You're wearing a pitch meetings t-shirt?
Super Hold easy, on. Barely an inconvenience.
Don't know what that means, Jake, but I'm sure some people do.
You will if you go watch it. Just go watch the Shang-Chi pitch meeting. As soon as this is over, like Joe Holkel will say, don't pause the video. As soon as this is over, I know DVR
hey,
comes back to talking about pitch meetings and movies.
Don't worry, man. It's cool. The chat room's alive. All right, fine. Let's go back to football since DVR's here now. Jake Seeley, question about a football player. Let me ask you this, Jakey. Yes. Look at
we
the
got like 3 minutes left. Anyway,
all right, let's just go then. Short show. Thanks, everybody. You got some guys down in your 70-60 range, and look, I feel like everyone's fair game now after some of these players took off this year. Jerick McKinnon, I'm getting Damian Williams vibe from for Kansas City. Like it seems like that team just is dying to get rid of Clyde Edwards-Helaire as like a contributor. Jerick McKinnon has been good in the postseason as basically the starting running back for the Chiefs. You're going to move him up from 73, having seen this performance and the coaching staff likes him and stuff like that?
No, he legitimately got to 73 by being outside the 100s, like not existing before this.
Right.
The biggest thing is who are the running backs next year? Because right now you have Edwards-Helaire, Darwin Thompson, and I think that's it. So, yes, if Jerick McKinnon is the number two in the 40s, 100%.
What if he's the number one?
He's not.
Isn't he the number one right now?
He really wasn't even like so much in that game. He'd be a split. He would be a 50-50. So you would be looking potentially like the Broncos. If it's let's say it's just Edwards-Helaire, McKinnon, and then somebody else, Derek Orr, they bring him back because he looked good, okay, in spelling some opportunities there. Those are the three. Then it's the Broncos situation. Put them both in the 20s. But my biggest issue with McKinnon has never been talent. It's just been the ability to stay on the damn field.
Here's the problem is Andy Reid used to be a one back guy back with Brian Westbrook and LeSean McCoy and Jamal Charles. And then if they got injured, then Charcandrick West would be like the biggest thing in fantasy for a week or two, or Niall Davis would have that. But now he's embraced a full-blown platoon, so it's not hard to put up points in Andy Reid's offense with Pat Mahomes as quarterback. The problem is they've split it all up. I mean, Darrell Williams, when Clyde Edwards was hurt and they weren't using Derek Gore a lot, was a stud, you know? And Derek Gore even gets – you could put anybody back there. But if you actually put a legit, real, like, stud three three down bell cow guy, and Andy Reid said that's my guy. I mean, we're talking like top three, top four fantasy running back.
McKinnon had the most carries of any running back in the game yesterday. He had 10 to Clyde Edwards-Hilaire's 7, and Mahomes ran 7 times.
There you go.
And he had the third most receiving yards with 54. Third most receptions. It seems like in the most important games of the season for them, they're using Jerick McKinnon.
Because he's working right now, and Edwards-Hilaire is still not 100% and had his own issues. I legitimately said it could be. He's also a free agent. He might not even be back with this team.
What if they're like, yo, dude, you get the offense, come back. I'm sure he's going to be like,
What if Andy Reid says Edwards-Hilaire and somebody more powerful, and they pull in Foreman or Rashad Penny or something like that? Yeah. Like, that's just, so my point being is it's basically Edwards-Hilaire and whoever it is, whether it's McKinnon, it's basically – RB2 Kansas City Chiefs are probably going to be the new Broncos, both in the 20s.
Answer DVR's question, Funston. Who's the better deep dynasty stash, Gore or McKinnon?
I think McKinnon. I mean, I think you got to lean on what the Chiefs are doing right now. Derek Gore's not hurt. They've basically elevated McKinnon above him in terms of role status right now. So I think you got to follow the lead of what the Chiefs are doing.
The SS Jerick McKinnon.
Jake Trowbridge. This is the best show ever. We got like everybody's in here.
Yeah, Jake.
Shout out to Trowbridge. If you want to go watch him do music on Twitter, fantasy style, it's terrific. He did an impersonation.
Do you have one of his shirts?
Time. No, I don't have one of his shirts. I don't think he has a shirt. I have shirts.
Hey, speaking of.
Who's the bigger Stan here? Come on, do you have a shirt?
Speaking of G-Man J, I have a whole bunch of band kicker shirts behind me too, so.
Hey, you know what I want to bring up really quickly if we have time.
Before we get out of here.
Casey Joyner brought this up, like, and maybe he'll write a column about it. Is it fair for me to, read his three art ideas?
Yeah, I don't know. Should we reveal
like,
it here?
Is it just like a workshop to play around the idea, and he'll write like the full article?
I don't know. Jake Trowbridge might steal his idea and write it himself.
No, he would just make it into a song.
Okay, maybe I'll can it. That's a teaser.
No, I think it's safe. We're among friends here.
Okay.
But if anyone writes this,
are considered special teams. So why not combine DST? Throw the kicker into that mix, Jake.
Are you asking me?
Thoughts?
Yeah, wouldn't you feel good about that, Jake?
Yeah.
No. Ban kicker,
like instead
theory,
of ban
the
kicker. Kick.
No, the end. They're still pointless. They're still stupid. They're still unpredictable. They still have no value.
Yeah, but if they're watered down within the mix.
No, you don't water them down. That's the same problem people make for the argument for about defenses. They're like, get rid of them or water them down. No, fix the scoring. We had defensive scoring that came out 20 years ago that we're still sticking by. How about give a point for forcing a three and out? How about 2 points for, you know, forcing a fourth down field? Like, I'm just throwing out that's exactly what I would do. But, you know, failed fourth down conversion. That's essentially a turnover. Why don't I count for that? No.
I'm not saying
it sounds like
don't
a Jake
do that.
Story.
I'm just saying
how
like,
to fix DST scoring.
I already did. It's in my offseason best settings.
You can fix the scoring, but what about just lumping the kicker into the defense special teams as a one draft pick kind of deal?
Again, no. They don't even correlate. Again, it has nothing to do with the defense or the special teams. The only reason kickers have value is if the offense fails their damn job. End of story. Just like I said, we wouldn't even care about the kickers in the first three games if somebody could put the ball in the damn end zone. If the Packers put the ball in the end zone, we wouldn't even be talking about it. If the Bengals have just scored a touchdown, we wouldn't be talking about it.
The Chiefs did their job on offense, went like 45 yards in two plays, and Harrison Butker came in and kicked a 49-yarder. So
and then how did they win the game? And how did they win the game? They went the entire way and scored a touchdown.
Well, they could have kicked a field goal and then the defense.
I'm not saying kickers can't be realistic in real life. They obviously have to play with kickers. If there's 2 seconds left, I would love to see somebody have the balls to go for him from the 20 and just go for the touchdown.
Oh, you know who would? Cole Beasley.
Yeah, he would have. He'd have the ones.
He's got heavy ones.
Real life is fine, but again, the whole point about it, and you can even get some of it. I did the whole art. Nando, no, you know this. I did the article showing how unpredictable, even with the right offenses, even with trying to predict Vegas scores and everything, like you still cannot.
Wait, why are you saying like I know
kickers?
This? Brandon edits your stuff too.
No, I know, but you actually that was the one that you used for the.
Well,
article.
You need to save all this because you're going to have to do a point counterpoint with.
Yeah,
Casey
I think
Joyner.
So. Yeah,
no,
next
I'm
week,
not.
Month, yeah.
No, I've already made my 1,000 points. I don't know why people get rid. I'll end it with this
1,000 points of Jake.
Everybody out there, you got your one weekend. Celebrate it. You're not going to have another weekend of enjoying kickers for a long time.
I don't know what that means.
Oh, everybody's like, because the first three games were decided by field goals. And everybody's like, oh, it's the best week ever. Ha ha, Jake. And it's like, yeah, okay. Enjoy your 1 week out of 22. Have fun.
Well, I mean, just because they're doing good stuff doesn't mean that they should be included in fantasy scoring.
100%, but people are trying to troll me.
Why are they mocking you? Give away a t-shirt, Jake.
You're going to give me
How many do you have left? How many do you have left?
I paid for all those with my own money. I'll give them out when I want to give them out.
Sell a couple t-shirts, Jake. All right, we got to go. I think the three of us have one more week left together. Who knows what next week we're going to do? I have no idea. We've gone through Jake's rankings.
I thought we have two more, don't we? We had the Super Bowl week, don't we?
I don't know. Let's have DVR communicate to us on screen.
I think,
but on my Google Calendar, it's this week and next week. I think.
You know, we have two.
Yeah, after this week, we're gonna have to be prepared for popular demand.
No, you know what we do next week?
I don't know.
I'm telling you, I'm gonna look into it next week. Hey, JL, Jake, Jay, all the Reed. Thank you for being loyal. And listen, we should do it.
What about Jacob?
I was just reading the most recent names. I'm sorry, Jake. I was reading the most recent names in the chat. Shut the hell up.
Jacob shows up in the chat, and you lose your shit. And then you won't even thank
Jake.
Him now?
He goes by Jake.
No, I thought you were talking about yourself.
No. I was saying we should do like Quiplash with the with the viewers and stuff like that. Something like that. We should just have fun with the viewers.
You've been trying to make Quiplash happen on one of these shows for the longest time.
I am, because it'd be a hell of a lot of fun.
All right, let's do it. Fantasy
Before we
football
get out of
Quiplash.
Here, sell all your first round picks for Harrison Butker, Reed. All of them. One-on-one. Dynasty for life.
There you go. We got to go. Thank you all for joining us. We hope this is informative. And, you know, even if you're not named Jake or your name doesn't start with a J, we hope you enjoyed the show and that you showed up and you enjoyed it. I'll see you for the next 2 weeks. Jakey and Funston are caught in this loop forever for the Athletic Fantasy Football Broadcast. Shout out to DVR.